Let everybody say amen. I want to say good morning and happy new year to all. First of all, happy Lord's Day and then happy new year. Thank the Lord this morning for allowing us to be here once again to see the beginning of a new year. We don't know how far we may get into it, but we pray that we make it this entire year. We pray for strength to carry on this year. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Luke, the first chapter and the 37th verse. And I may as well tell you now, I did this because I needed this past week. I was a little down. I had a tough week. And I needed to be lifted up. And I found this where it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And I worked on myself with that this week. And I came together with these few words to hopefully to encourage you just as much as I've been encouraged this past week. Because it didn't set out right. It didn't start out right, but it ended up just as well. So I want to thank God for that. And I want to just say to any of you, I heard it discussed in the Bible class this morning. In order for us to be a help to one another, we must talk to one another. There's no way we can just guess what's going on with each other. We must talk with each other. I can reach out to you, but you must let me know that I need to reach out to you. So we want to just thank God for all that are here this morning, and we want to just thank God that all are well enough to be here this morning. So from that verse of all, and with God, For with God nothing shall be impossible, we want to take for a subject, I will this year. So let us go to God in prayer. Thank you, O righteous Father, that you have blessed us to see the beginning of a new year. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that if last year didn't go as well as we'd like it to go, we pray that this new year will bring us better fortune, O Heavenly Father, better faith, and give us more faith to carry through this year. We thank you this year as we are approaching this new year and at the beginning of this new year. We thank you and ask you, O kind Heavenly Father, to bless each and every member in here. Bless the congregation as a whole. Bless the leadership here and bless the brethren who are here to take part in the services each and every Sunday. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for all of those, O Lord, who are standing with us today, and we pray for those who may not be here with us today, that they may soon be with us. We pray this morning, Father, for all of those who may be slightly under the weather, or those who may be fully under the weather, that if it be your will, you give them the strength to return to us. Thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for all your blessings, all your grace, all your mercy, and in particular, all your love. We thank you for everything, Lord, and it is in the name of your Son who went to Calvary's Hill on our behalf. We ask it all. Amen. As we come to the end of the days, or at least for almost the end of the days of another year where families gather together, where families have get-togethers, it's time to start anew to be thankful for God, to God, for God has allowed us to see another year in and to begin a new one. If he blesses us, we may even see the whole year through. We have just finished the dreaded period for turkeys and pigs. We typically consumed over 675 million pounds of turkey and over 890 billion hams. No wonder some people are overweight, isn't it? So as we usually promise ourselves and we usually promise God around this time of the year, Let me repeat just a couple of the most popular ones. I'm going to go to church more this year. I'm going to serve him more, and of course the one we promise ourselves, I'm going to lose weight. Which promises fall first by the wayside? And that's when this text comes in, the text says nothing is impossible for God. Today being the first day of another new year, this is the year that we accept and hold fast. That no matter what may come in our life, no matter how stubborn we may be, no matter how bad off we may seem, that we just come to God more this year than we did last year. If we can just make that statement to ourselves, I will this year. For nothing is impossible with God. Today only you can decide that I will change this year? If God allows us to live this year out, what will I accomplish? Will I fall short again? Or will I set my heart on doing right by the Lord and myself? Will I accept the fact that our text today teaches me that nothing is impossible with God? So as we get into our lesson this morning, the first point is, why not allow this year to be a new beginning? Why not allow yourself to say, I will begin anew? New beginnings are a year of rededication of your life to Jesus. A year to halt our lives from falling to the ravages of sin. And if you don't know about Christ, then you ought to begin this year learning about Him. If you already know Christ, you ought to allow Him to be rededicated into your own life. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, this is to me is the key of rededication of your life. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, sin puts a heavy weight on our lives. And we can shed a lot of that weight by just shedding those sins that we have in our lives. And I'm not calling anyone by any means a sinner in this room. I'm simply saying, if you are, I don't know your life, so I can't call you that. But if you cleanse yourself from this unrighteousness, then the Lord will be faithful and just to forgive us. Who else could offer this kind of reassurance? I guarantee you, no one. No one at all. We must ask of ourselves this question. How do I change this year? That is assuming that you want to change. How do I change this year? The first thing we must do is to begin with a change of heart. If one would need an example, all he has to do is look at the book of Acts and the story of Paul and Silas. How that at midnight in their jailer, how that in Acts chapter 16, starting at around about verse number 25, telling of how that change came to this man and his family. Change can come no matter the hour, no matter the day or whether it's day or night. How that as Paul and Silas began to pray and sing at midnight. How that Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord at midnight. How that God freed them from their chains and their jail cells, and how He can free us from the chains that may be binding us. Because of the work of these two men with the help of God, they brought this jailer, they brought their jailer and his whole household to the Lord in Acts chapter 16 around verse number 31. So I ask the question, will this be the year for you to come to God or the year you return to Him? Which one is it for you? Will you return or will you come to Him for the first time? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4 and 5, we learn from Jesus Himself when He speaks to the church of Ephesus. He speaks of the church at Ephesus. He says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He says, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlesticks out of their place, except thy repent. Except that you repent. God can take us out of here, church, and you never know when He is going to take us out, and we never know when, but we ought to be in a repenting mode before we get to that point. God is not pleased with us when we leave that which is holy and good. When we become cold and not caring toward Him, then He lets us know we must remember from where we have come from. We must compare from where we were once to where we are today. If you take an inventory of yourself, and we should, when you take an inventory of yourself, the first thing you need to find out about yourself when you take this inventory, are you still where you were before you became a Christian? If you are, then the arrow in your life is pointing downward instead of upward. So Jesus says, repent, return to being a lover of righteousness. Repent and do the first works. In this new year, We must become familiar with Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, where the book tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Righteousness is the low cost we have to pay to see the throne, church. Jesus already paid the full price. We have to pay a lower price just by doing his will, obeying his word, and learning, most of all, to love one another. When you think about it, church, being a Christian is a full-time job. Being a Christian is not a part-time work. Being a Christian doesn't mean I can only pretend that I'm a Christian on Sunday and act like the world Monday through Saturday. Being a Christian requires your full patience, your full work, and your full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. I will this year learn to pray more. I will this year that you learn to pray and ask God for whatever may be ailing me. But you've got to tell yourself and mean it when you say it, that during this new year, I'm going to pray more. First, let me clarify one thing. I'm not saying that you're not already praying. That's not what I'm saying. I speak to those who may be coming to underestimate or coming to understand what the text states in Luke 1 and verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. All I have often stated to the church is only communication. The communication we have with God is through prayer. That's all I've ever insisted to the church, that you pray to God to communicate with God. Now, we were talking this morning in Bible class. God does not take phone calls. God does not take text messages. I've said it before and I'm saying again. God does not do emails, and God doesn't do instant messaging. You've got to fall down on your knees and pray to God if you want Him to hear you. You've got to ask God for whatever in your life may be ailing you. And as I said, my week wasn't so good this week, and I went to God in prayer. I asked God. I uplifted myself because I needed uplifting. I had to work on myself because some things was happening this week in my life. And I'm sure your life wasn't perfect this week either. So you ask yourself, when I need uplifting, when I need edifying, where do I turn? Well, you turn to God's Word. You ask God, Lord, help me get in and out of a situation that I may be in. And praying. Some have been in prayer. Some have said that I've been in prayer for many years, preacher, and God still haven't answered me. Well, just keep on praying anyway. Just keep on praying, for just by chance, this could be the very year that God decides to answer you. If He answers you, you would not want to be found without a prayer. Now, would you? What if this is the year that your loved ones have decided to come to God? Would your prayer life be acceptable for them to see Christ in you? When Jesus went to the Mount of Olives in Luke chapter 22, around about verse number 40 through about verse number 42. Let's go to Luke chapter 22 and verse number 40 and following. In Luke chapter 22, starting at verse number 40, look what the Bible says. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, what did he say to them? He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And as he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, ask the Lord to move whatever may be in your way, but let His will be done in your life. So when he went to prayer, he didn't tell the Lord what he wanted to have done. He said, if it's your will, remove this cup. He didn't go there to think about praying. He went there to pray. It's one thing for us to tell ourselves, I'm going to think about praying, and another thing to actually pray. When we can talk to our friends for hours upon hours and then can't just say a few moments of prayer to the Lord, I think something is wrong. I think something is wrong when you can talk to me on the telephone for hours at a time, but you can't give the Lord 3 or 4 minutes of a prayer on your own behalf. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible tells us to continue in prayer. Be watchful and be thankful. Another reason why this may be the year to become more prayerful, and as each and every new day approaches us, as each and every new year comes upon us, we become closer to meeting God. And the Bible lets us know that we don't know when He's going to come for us. We don't know where death is coming or when it's coming. Death robs us of physical life. But if we live right, it can also bring us eternal life, according to John 3 and verse number 15. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life, if you will. I like the concept of eternal life, but just what is eternal life? Well, eternal life is priceless. Physical life brings about death, but eternal life begins, but it has no ending. Physical life can cause one to be separated from God in hell's fire. Eternal life unites us with God for eternity, for an eternity. And I asked the question this morning, isn't this the year you would like to start anew, or maybe a fresh start with Jesus Christ? Think about it. Look at the text once again. It says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now, what is that saying to me? It's saying that no matter what stage of my life I'm in, no matter what state I'm in my life, God can fix it for me. I've been sick. I've been down and out. I've been wondering to myself if everything is going to be all right with the next day in my life. I don't have that worry if I just let God take care of it for me. God, nothing with God is impossible. I will this year change my life. During our lifetimes, we are supposed to learn a few things. And when we learn especially good things, we are supposed to apply them to our lives. So in our text today, we are told that nothing is impossible with God. This means whatever the old year left us with does not mean that God can't fix it. Whatever or whoever may be ruining your life, God can stop it. Whether it be family matters, job matters, or even matters in the church, God is able to fix it. What if God straightened out the problems of the church in this year, this new year? Will you be there to see it when He straightens out the problems in the church house? And I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about all churches. The church can become like those members in Acts chapter 4, starting around about verse number 31, where the record states, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke the word of God with boldness. They that believed were of one heart, one soul, and they had all things in common. And grace, great grace, came upon them all." Wouldn't it be wonderful if in this new year we could find these same things? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the problems of the church just seemed to melt by the wayside? And I'm talking again about all churches, not about this church, because all churches have their own set of problems. All churches have some kind of things going on in them. Maybe it's the sisters don't dress right, and somebody is complaining about the sisters not dressed right. Or maybe it's the brothers getting too fresh with the sisters. But whatever it is, all the churches have some kind of problem. And then, if God comes and straightens out the church, if He comes this year in 2012, if He comes and brings a solution to the church, will you be out hanging out somewhere rather than being in the church thinking that the solution is never going to come and you will never come back? Each one of us, after we have become a member of the body of Christ, we need to go back and review our lives and ask the question, do I remember? Do I remember what, preacher? Well, in Galatians 2 and 20, I'll run it by you just in case some of you have forgotten it. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. That's me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that's me. I live, yet not I, that's me, but Christ who liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I, that's me, live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you remember that? Do you remember that I live, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We owe ourselves to our Savior Jesus Christ. But if we look at to the cross, when we look to the cross, we won't find us on the cross. But instead, we find Christ being crucified, not for Himself, but for us. Therefore, we must die to the sins we once lived for. It has been said, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything, or we'll fall for nothing. So when I looked at that text and I realized the state of it that I was in this week, I said to myself, why should I be in this state that I'm in now? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I was hurting this week, church. I had physical pain. But you know what? I didn't allow it to stop me. I went ahead with my life and I bowed down on my knees and I went to the Lord in prayer and I asked Him to fix me, Lord, because I can't fix myself. And when I got up off of my knees, I began to realize that what this text says is what it says, for with God, nothing is impossible. And then I believe once again that nothing is impossible with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And if I don't stand for God, then I wonder what will I fall for? I'll fall for anything, won't I, church? It's not, if not Christ worthy to begin and end your new year with, and ask yourself, will I be in this same position at the end of this year if I make it all the way through? Will I still be trying to make a decision just like I am now? Or will I be committed to the Lord, my family, and my church? Will I be committed enough to my family to make sure that I bring my kids up in the admonition of the Lord? Will I be more committed to the Lord and say that instead of staying at my house, I'm going to the Lord's house? Will I be more committed to say to myself, I'm going to get along with my brothers and my sisters this year because I didn't get along with them last year. And I know that God can fix the situation. I've got to reach out to my... You know, we are good for this. We are good for saying, I'm going to wait till He comes to me. But sometimes we need to go to Him. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord, take away this pride that I have, that I may approach my brother or my sister to tell him or to let her know, I'm all right with everything. I'm all right with you. I don't have any problems with you anymore. Some of us are carrying a grudge for 25 or 30 years thinking that you are serving the Lord, but yet you're hating your brother. Some of us ought to let it go and learn to accept the fact that this year I will do the right thing. I will learn to accept that there are rules and regulations in the church house just like it is at the workplace. Some of us need to understand that this year I need to start giving God more of what He has allowed me to have. Oh yeah, I'm going to touch on that too. I need to make sure that I put in just a good portion of what God has given me to give back to Him. It's not yours anyway. You think it's yours, but God has given it to you. And if God gave it to you, He expects you to give some of it back. And when you give it back, don't worry about it. Let it go. Take it off of your plate. Let it be on the plate of those in charge of the treasury at the church house. You put it in, you don't spend it, God will take care of the increase. Tell yourself, this is the year I begin anew, and I realize that all things are possible with God. There's nothing in this world that is too hard for God. And the sooner we realize it, that the sooner some of us can settle the issue of lying to ourselves each and every New Year's Day. We set up these so-called resolutions that I'm going to do this year. And by the third day of the new year, it's already fallen by the wayside. I'm not going to eat as much this year as I did last year. I'm not going to act like I acted last year. I'm going to do better this year than I did last year. But where do you include God in your plan? Remember what the rich man said, I'm going to build more barns, and I'm going to tear down my old barns, and I'm going to build new barns. But yet he never said, I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh yeah, there's some things about serving the Lord. There's some things you need to understand about serving the Lord as I hasten to bring this message on to a close. You've got to learn to accept the fact that on Sunday morning, not Saturday morning, but on Sunday morning, you need to prepare you and your family to come out to the Lord's house. I'm going to repeat that. You need to prepare you and your family to come out to the Lord's house on Sunday morning. What time should I be there? Well, when the doors open and the services start, you ought to be there. I know we have plenty of 11 o'clock Christians. We've got far too many 11 o'clock Christians. They time it just so the preacher will be already up when they walk in the door. The preacher will be almost through when I get there, and that'll be good because I'll be able to get out sooner. And then you hunt your neighbor next to you and ask him, what is he talking about? Well, you missed what he was talking about because you didn't get here on time. And then there are those who just sit down and they can't wait for the benediction to be over, because as soon as the benediction is over, they ease out of the church. They don't stay to say hello, and you call yourself a Christian, but you won't even say hello to me. But yet you love God. I'm just talking about what I will do this year. I will this year. I will this year make a better effort to do better than I did in the last year. I will this year. I will cut out some of the fat in my life this year. And I don't mean the food that you eat either. I'm talking about some of that's weighing you down, that's standing between you and God. I'm talking about some of that you allow to overtake your life and allow Satan to bring you down. I will this year. I will realize, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What can I do that's impossible for the Lord to fix? What is it that the Lord can't do? And when He created this whole entire universe, what else is it that He needs to prove that He can fix it all? With God, nothing shall be impossible. No matter how my life may be spiraling out of control, I'm going to do better this year than I did on last year. And don't let it be just an idle saying or an idle thought. Let it be something that you plan on doing this year. Let it be something that you are going to work on this year. You see, there's an uncertainty in all of our lives, and that uncertainty is this. How much time do I have left? The older you are, the less time you have left. It's just a fact of life. The younger you are, you think you got more time, but that doesn't always work. Because young folk are dying at alarming rates today. You can be standing trying to get you a chicken wing, and you can get killed standing there. But yet, some of us think we got all the time in the world, and we may not. Some of us think that God is just going to let me live the way I'm living from now on. But He's not. He may not let you get any older than where you're at right now. You know, you can be here one moment and gone the next moment. Because everybody in life must face death. It's not always easy, but we must. And when you come to grips with that, then you can understand better what the Bible is talking about, that one day we're going to have to face a righteous judgment. And the books will be opened. So this day, this beginning of this new year, you need to be faithful in saying to yourself that I will this year. I will serve God more this year. I will serve God's people more this year. I will do right this year. I will get to church more this year. And don't let it, once again, don't let it fall on just an idle thought. Let it become just an idle thought or a few idle words. For with God, nothing is impossible. You may have missed 52 of the last 54 Sundays. And I know that's over a year, but that's okay. You may have missed it anyway. You may have missed it anyway, but still God can fix that for you. You may have gotten up this morning with the intent that I'm going to church. But something, and you know what that something was, something got in your way this morning. And you decided, I'm not going this morning because I can't deal with that issue this morning. Well, I got some news for you. Issues are going to come and issues are going to go, and you're still going to have to deal with life. But when you can overcome, when you can say to Satan, get thee behind me, and then you can move on, I will this year. I will do what? I will rededicate my life, or I will come to Christ. And I will ask the brothers and the sisters to help me to do better in the new year. Pray for me that I do better in the new year than I've done in the old year. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, we invite you to come. If you are a member, but somewhere you've been astray, you can come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Or you can just come and ask the church to forgive you for your past sin or your past discretion, whatever they may be. And when you come up front, never be ashamed to turn around and let the church know what you're asking them to pray for. You don't have to tell them what it is, but let them know that I need prayer for strength. I need prayer because I've been sick. I need prayer because I'm not living a righteous life. Whatever it is, ask the church and let them know just what it is. When you get up here and turn and face, there's nobody up there when you stand right here. Your back is to the audience that you're asking to pray for you. Get up here, turn around, and face the church. Let them know just what it is you want them to be praying for. Because see, if I don't know what I'm praying for you for, it's not doing any good. If the brother elders don't know what they're praying for you for, it's not doing you any good to ask them to pray for you, is it? So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.